whatever I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I'm like kind of all over the place right now, obviously. As you both
We should let our listeners know that we just spent an hour getting this technology together for you. You're
facts.
welcome.
Right, like
Flawless
literally.
Lawrence
We are
was
fully
less than
virtual.
patient.
Right. Seriously. He's just like, I gotta go. I don't got time. Yo.
Nobody got time
Facts, yo. Let's talk about self-care. Yeah. And what we do for self-care. Yeah, I feel like that's important. Self-care. That's gonna be like, the topic today. So yeah, Lawrence, you go first. What do you do for self-care?
Well, aside from this podcast today, I pretty much took the day off. So,
Self-care right there.
it's kind of knowing when you need a break and actually following through with it. So yeah, I'm just trying to give myself a break. I've been going for like a week straight, like work and things every single day, and I'm just like burned out. So I'm like, I need a day. Get
Right.
my snowblower ready for this storm we have coming up
What?
over the weekend.
What do you mean storm? We're getting more? For what?
Yep. I
Okay.
don't know how much we're gonna get yet. It could be 3 inches, it could be a foot, but it's definitely gonna hit the East Coast.
And you definitely don't want to be caught without a snowblower again.
No, my body was hurting shoveling last time.
Well, that's
Getting
cool
too
that,
old for that.
that's cool that you took the day off. Like, awesome. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like in our society, like, we're so results and like driven that like, taking a day off or taking time off, like, it's not like seen as like productive. It's seen as counterproductive, and so like it's shamed upon. Like when you actually take time for yourself. So it's cool, first of all, that we work for an organization that kind of encourages us to take care of ourselves, and also, not feeling bad taking time when you need to. So yeah, that's awesome. Phoebs, what do you do?
Yeah. Well,
What?
what
Oh
do I do?
no.
I sleep.
Okay.
I love sleep. I give it to myself when I want it. Sleep is really critical. I have a tincture routine I take every morning. St. John's wort, vitamin D,
Nice.
ashwagandha, like got
That's a
my
good one.
boosts that I try to do.
That's good. That A1 is really
I
good.
here's the thing for me with self-care. I really it's very easy for me to start to be like, this self-care feels like a chore and now it's counterproductive. And
Facts.
so I feel like I'm kind of often like morphing what my self-care things are to not let them become chores, because then I'm like, is this really like, I get that like building good habits are is a good thing, but it's like it needs to be pleasant. Like I can't force myself to do a yoga routine for 30 minutes every day. Like I that's
Right.
not my jam. Like
Right.
what I can do is be like, do something physical every day and like adapt to what you need, what's in front of you. Is a nice day for a walk, maybe I'm gonna stretch. We've been starting a routine here where we like, because we have a record player that we always listen to. So we'll do like one side of a record and stretch for that side of the record. Just like make
Nice.
yourself do it. Yeah. And I am trying to like kind of the same thing with taking time off work, right? And like society's messaging around what is productive time use. But I'm like been relishing lately and like we're working on a puzzle, like reading a book. I haven't sat down and read a novel in like so long. And I'm like really loving it. So it is so much about like slowing down, just doing like things for simple pleasure. But like the biggest thing is turning off the part of your brain that's like lets all the other things that you know you have to deal with, like, nag at you for spending your time that way. It's really hard to turn that voice off and, like, not feel self-indulgent and, like, convince myself that if I take the time to do this self-care now, it means I'm going to get that chore, that task done twice as fast when I get to it in an hour versus, like, being in a bad shitty headspace where I didn't, like, give myself any self-care, and then that thing takes me three times as long to do because I'm scatterbrained or frustrated or, like, you know, not as focused. It's self-care is such an invest. It requires an investment mindset, I think, right, in like valuing your future self. So anyway, blah blah blah. That's where I'm at.
No, that's awesome. I like that, investing in yourself. I just, like, you know, somebody had said to me, like, you know, as far as, like, because I had stopped doing, you know, like, every, you know, for, like, 1 week in a month for a while, I was, you know, giving my, doing, like, self-care weekend, where I'd meet up, and I'd, like, you know, kind of, like, pamper myself, do, like, some very light shopping, maybe go out to eat, or go see a movie with a friend, or, you know, or whatever, or even by myself, and I stopped doing those things because, you know, like, I got busy, and I was just like, oh, I don't have time to do this, and, you know, like, it's taken, like, you know, like, at first I didn't notice it, but it's like taking, like, a negative, like, toll on me. And eventually, like, I don't know, essentially it's like putting myself out of balance because, like, I'm focusing on, like, being more productive, which is, like, you know, like, I'm, you know, being responsible, that's, like, important too. But, like, there's, like, also a social aspect and, like, you know, self-care aspect of, you know, of my life and, you know, the way things are. And so, like, I don't know, I became out of balance, and eventually, like, it catches up to me, and then I'm not as responsible or productive as I should be. Like, there has to be a balance. And so for me, like, I'm like really, like, into just, like, taking care of, like, my body. Like, I am going to be waxed this weekend. I am gonna go get every, like, 2 weeks I always do my nails anyhow. Like, I get, like, a gel manicure, so, like, that's normal. But, so I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go get my beard done. Just things like that. I might go do a little shopping, like, very light shopping. And hang out, I don't know, hang out with a friend or two, or, you know, try to be somewhat social. It's, like, so difficult to be social now because, well, I mean, like, we're living in a pandemic. So there's that, you know? But I think, like, for me, like, being, you know, setting aside time to be social and putting myself out there is, like, self-care and taking care of my body. I mean, like, and I like how you said, like, you know, how self-care can become a chore. That's how, like, sometimes the gym becomes for me, where, like, if I don't do it, or, like, I feel bad, or if I'm, like, if I'm doing it too much, I'm like, oh god, why do I have to do this? Like, no, it shouldn't feel that way. It should just feel, like, kind of good every time. And so, like, I have to, like, recognize that and, like you said, like, kind of, like, readjust, you know, what self-care looks for you and how you go about it. Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, it definitely creeps up on you. You don't notice it for a while until it's, like, too late.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm all spun out and I can't get anything done. Right. Why can't I get anything done? I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday.
So true.
They're like, I'm so overwhelmed that I can't get anything done. I just keep going from task to task and not finishing it. Right. And I'm like, oh, I identify with that completely.
Right.
And, like, my girlfriend, like, we keep buying books, and I'm like, we need to stop buying books that we want to read because we're not reading any of them. They're just, like, packing up.
Facts. Just giving you anxiety about the fact that you're not reading the books that you got for self-care. Counterproductive. I do think a big part of self-care, then, it makes me think about, is, like, knowing how to say no. Knowing how to say no in your life. Because, like, at what point did you get to that point of overwhelm? Because you're like, I have to do this. Yes. I have to say yes to my boss always. I have to say yes to my partner always. I have to say yes to social invitations always. And then, yeah, you get overrun, and I I really have learned to appreciate, even though it's like an adjustment, having people in my life as friends who are good at saying no for themselves and encourage me to say no, who are like, please draw hard boundaries with me. Like, please don't assume because I'm your friend that you have to let me like walk all over your space or your time. Like, we don't do it intentionally to each other a lot of times, but I think it's just like the assumption that it's not polite, to decline invitations, to tell somebody like, I hear that that would be helpful for you, but I don't have the capacity to do that well for you. Like, I can't take that on. Like, I have a friend who's like, I cannot do phone calls right now. I am in a deeply personal place. I'm dealing with a lot of like chronic pain and dealing with a lot of mental stress. Like, I'm not going to be giving or receiving any phone calls for the next month. And like, that's a hard thing, but I'm like, that's not about me. That's about her prioritizing her self-care the way she sees it needing to be. And I like respect it so much. Saying no is powerful.
That's true. It's like, yeah, it is really hard to say no, especially when you're used to saying like yes so much. I have a hard time saying. I mean, like, I don't, when I get to like at a certain point, like all you're gonna get from me is no. Like, but like it's like I said, like balance, because that's not healthy either. It's like picking and choosing. I
And
guess
that
it's
means you're
like,
probably saying no to things, yeah, you might want to say yes to at that point then. You're just like, now is a hard no to everything because I overloaded myself and I can't get rid of the that's where it's like saying no actually opens up a door to a yes tomorrow that you don't know what it might be.
exactly. That's true. It's like,
Yeah, I started doing that a while back, like because I work on cars and people say, hey, can you do my brakes or can I do this? I'm always like, oh, that's an easy job. And then, a bolt breaks or something and it becomes a whole day affair. And then I started realizing like, oh, like if I go and do something for somebody else, yeah, they might throw me a few bucks, but I just took away that day or that half a day that I could have been working on my stuff. So my stuff gets further behind, So I had to stop at one point and just being like, I'd like to help, but I just can't. I have too much on my plate right now. People are pretty respectful of that, so.
I feel like the
Do you
ones
all
that
feel
are,
like if you were in a place? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
oh no, you're fine, you could go. No.
Well, I was curious if y'all are in a place where, because I don't know if I can say yes to this, where it's like if I was given the gift of like, hi, I'm going to pay you to stay home and do whatever you want for a week, or whatever it was. Do you actually know like what you would fill your day with that just brings you like pleasure and passion and joy that you're like, yep, this is it. Like I know exactly how I'd fill my time. Or like sometimes I find myself when I have a ton of free time being like, I don't know how to enjoy this. And it makes me like mad at myself, sort of. And I do feel like it speaks to a lack of practicing some level of self-care, maybe, or like passion fostering or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if I'm curious if I'm alone in that struggle.
No, I feel like I would know how to fill maybe half of the time, but I do find like when I have free, so like sometimes when I force myself to like take time off, I'm like, well, what do I do? Like, I don't know. And it's just like, I guess, I don't know, like, like I fill it with maybe not everything that I would like to do, but what's, like I, like I'll play video games, I'll play like, Switch. But I would like to, I don't know, there's other things that I'd like to do. I'd like to be more active and, go out and be more social, but it's like hard to do that. Again, it's hard to do that right now. I guess, for me, the things that I want to do, I wouldn't really be able to at this moment because of, I think, the weather and, well, And also my friends, like my like whole my whole circle of friends actually has changed. So like when I like got into, started my journey in recovery, like a lot of my friends were like all like like abstinence-based friends, and as my recovery has shifted to more harm reduction, like an MAT, the people that I hang out would have hang out with, it doesn't really like jive too well with a lot of them. And so it's like, I don't know, it's like difficult for me. I have to find like new friends and like people to hang out with. It's like a whole thing.
Find your tribe.
Huh?
Find your tribe.
Right. I was just talking to like literally my therapist about this. I was just like, I don't know if I have a tribe, and I'm just like, I can't find anybody. I feel like when I was younger, like literally, like I always had like at least between like 5 to 10 like friends, maybe not even close friends, but people that like I would hang out with and I would like go out with, you know, like regularly, and like that we'd always like see each other and whatnot. But like these days, I don't know, as I've gotten older, and also as like some life things have happened, like those, that's just changed, I feel like, which I guess is not bad, you know. It is what it, well, I have to deal with it regardless. It is what it is, you know.
Well, there's that girl from the library.
Who? Oh, Mandy. I forgot about her. Yeah, she's cool. Yeah. I forgot about her. I have to send them an email.
Sometimes it's worth a look back, you know, from people from the past that are, you know, healthy people.
Right.
Maybe to try to reconnect with people and have new experiences. That's really what I like about friendships with other people, is that I learn something from them and they learn something from me. Like, you know, even something as simple as, you know, in their city, they know where the best restaurants are, and, you know, they can take you to their favorite restaurant, and, you know, you can do the same. I think in the new digital age, we sort of lose a lot of that, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
We're not, like, sharing tapes and CDs with each other and saying, hey, check out this new band or whatever. It's just, you can do everything from home.
I did swap a YouTube playlist with someone lately.
Ooh.
It's like the old school version of that, but it was like so nice. It was just like, hey, like, you're into music, I'm into music, like, I want to hear what you're into, like, I love discovering new music. And I was like, oh my gosh, rad, I haven't done this in so long. That was fun. Yeah, it's like I also have tried to pick up a letter writing habit again, like old school, stamp in the mail, put up I sent one. Try to do like one a week, because I'm like, yeah, there is something to like material connection. Yeah,
people love getting letters in the mail. Like literally, like it's no matter who you are. Like if you see a letter in the mail, it's like a present. You know, it's great. I should do that. You know,
for sure. Exactly. It's like you don't even have to write that much. Yeah.
Right. You just got. Oh my god. Like yeah, it's like Christmas. Yeah.
Yes. Sensitive. I'll get your address then.
Yes, please. That'd be great. We should make that. You know, like we should. I feel like there's so many things that we used to do prior to us, you know, going all tech, like that we need to like bring back because of like, you know, we've lost that connection. I don't know, like the our personal connections are like not there anymore. Like we don't really like connect this. I mean, obviously we don't connect the same way, but like it's at a detriment the way that we connect these days. It's like crazy.
Yeah, there's not like a strong bond anymore. They're all like sort of loose connections, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
and you don't have the experiences together.
Right, you know? Exactly. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah, there's no depth to the relationship a lot of times. I mean, like at the beginning at least, most things. Yeah. So what else? What else do you want to talk about? What else is going on? How have each of you kept it real this week? Tell me something. Tell me one to two things that you've done this week to keep it real. Go.
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Why you ask such a tough question?
It's a tough one, which is concerning. I'm like, wait, though. Shouldn't I be keeping it real all the time?
Like, you guys are hypocrites. They don't keep it real at all.
Right? Somebody's listening again. They're going to be like, oh, wow. Ooh. I could say for myself, I was like honest with another individual about like the way that I felt about something. Like, you know, a lot of times, like sometimes I may think, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way, I shouldn't be thinking this way, and so I'm not going to tell this other person how I feel, because like I'll like tell myself that the way that I'm feeling and thinking is wrong. Instead of like going with that, I actually just went ahead and said how I felt and what I thought. Yeah. And it worked out pretty well, actually. I don't know if that made sense. Did that make sense?
It's often so much better received. It made so much sense. That was the kind of example I was trying to like come up with, but I was like, oh, I don't know if I was like really direct with anybody this week. But like, yeah, it's like being direct with people in real time is so healthy and so difficult. Like,
right.
It really is. It's so easy to just be like, I don't want to take that on. I don't want to, like, and I think it's like a fear of conflict. Whereas, like, conflict is not unhealthy in and of itself. Like, conflict just is an indication of a difference of perspective, opinion, like, different needs clashing. Like, it's really only a problem when it's, like, it's unresolvable. When it becomes unresolvable conflict, right. Which really tends to fuel from the fact that no one named that there's something that's an issue in the first place, because that's seen as the problem. It's like, right. No, that's not a problem. Like, the problem only shows up if we can't navigate through that together and respect each other through it. But we like so rarely give ourselves the first step to even be able to do that. And I'm 99% of the time pleased when I'm direct with somebody about something, or even when they're direct with me. I guess that's like what I have to remind myself in those times I quiet my own voice, is like the number of times I've been grateful that somebody just like wasn't passive aggressive and straight up told me what was up, because it made my life easier. So it's just like giving that gift to other people and seeing it as a gift when people are willing to do that.
That's so true. It is really hard though.
Yeah, I have a hard time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I don't even do it. I mean, like, I might do it, like, 50% of the time. Maybe not, because I hate conflict. It depends on, I guess it depends on, like, what it is. Depends on what it is. But, like, a lot of times I will bypass, like, whatever it is. And I'll be like, you know, I'm not even going to, like, say anything about this. When I probably should.
I feel
sometimes
like
good self-care is not doing it.
I feel like I hold on to it and carry it around and wait for the precise moment to tell people something. But when it push comes to shove, like, I always get the message out. You know, it just may not be right in the moment.
Yeah.
No.
That's good, though. Hey, at least it gets out.
Yeah, which is totally fair.
Right. Sometimes it's time and place. Like,
yeah.
You know,
there are bad moments.
Right,
yeah.
Absolutely. Right. When I was younger, I used to just, like, if it was, like, in my head, it just came out. I don't know, like, seriously, like, and in high school, like, I was, like, I don't know, like, and I, like, had to, like, pull back from that because, like, it just isn't, like, you know, like, there's always a time and place, and then there's, I also had to learn, like, there's a way to, like, say things too, like, delivery, and it's, like, not, you know, like, I thought it was okay for me to, like, do that because I was just being honest, but it's just like, no, you're just kind of being an asshole, too. And so, like, yeah, I feel like there's definitely a time and place and way to communicate, you know, effective communication.
I always ask for, I forget what I used to call it, but, like, you know, like, spiritual rite of passage or something, where it's like, you basically tell the person ahead of time, is like, hey, I want to say something to you, but I want it to be in a safe space. And I don't want you to become upset with what I'm going to tell you. I just really feel I need to say it. And before you react to it, I really want you to just think about it and digest it. And, you know, then if we need to, we'll have another conversation about it in the future.
I like that. Ooh, I like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You're creating like a safe space and like a constructive dialogue, you know, instead of just like ramming it out, you know?
Right, exactly. That's smart.
And just like giving having the time to let that be processed and heard before there's any response is so healthy too. Like when you have the ability to do that, I think is especially with like big stuff, hard stuff. Yeah, just be like, it forces people to take like get past their like initial like the just kind of like instinct response to something, which is often more defensive or, you know, wanting, you know. And I think so much the reason conflict flares so badly often, I think, is that people just don't get heard, which is why there are practices out there that you can use, like reflective listening, which is where if you're gonna like have a hard conversation with somebody, like the first thing, like if somebody speaks their piece, the first thing you do is actually speak back to them what you heard to the best of your ability and ask them to confirm that you heard what they said before you respond, which like forces you to like listen to them so that you can relay it back and not just be so many times your like words are coming at you, but your brain is more actively coming up with your response, which means you're not fully hearing. It means you're like your brain is working to create a response to the first 30 seconds of what this person said to you, and you're not getting the whole picture, and that's going to take that much longer than for you both to feel like you understand what each other are saying. So it's like reflective listening is a tedious process. It doesn't work in all contexts, but I do think it can be really helpful to just be like, can we use this to have this conversation?
I like that. They teach you something like that when I worked at in the hospital as like a nurse's aide, you're maybe like passing meds, or if like you get an order from a doctor, like they may say the order, you repeat it back to them, and then like because like you said, it makes it forces you to listen, and then also make sure that everybody's on the same page before you even ask, you know. I like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've seen that in a hospital setting before. Because you have a lot of information that's coming at you, and you're only going to hear like one thing. Right. Oh, so they want to see that you really heard it correctly. Because I feel like I never really listened. Like when I had surgery on my leg, they were like, you know, they said they were going to repair it or whatever. It was broken. The guy did say like, you know, there's a possibility that we're going to have to take some tissue out and do a muscle and a skin graft. And I really didn't hear that part that I remembered. And then when I woke up and like I had all this skin graft and everything, I'm like, how did this happen? They never told me this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I had to think back to it. And I'm like, I did hear that. I did. I just didn't choose to like focus on it. It just became in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's better when you're not surprised.
And it's really telling. Yeah. And it's really telling also for you, like if you say your piece, the person's reflecting back what they heard, like you can tell like what did they absorb and what aren't they hearing. And that tells you something too about the other person's mindset, you know, and kind of like what stood out to them from what you were sharing. And yeah, it's just, gosh, like even when we're in a shared reality with somebody, we're not we're interpreting it entirely differently. We're emphasizing different parts entirely differently. Our understanding of how we got to this point in time is entirely different. So yeah, just like offering grace to each other and the willingness to be patient enough to hear a person all the way through, you know. And that doesn't mean that you put up with nonsense, you know. It doesn't have, that doesn't mean it's like everybody's thought's valid. It's just like every thought deserves to be understood as thought, and then we can get into whether it's problematic or not, right? But like let's at least be clear on what it is we're fighting about.
We're so terrible. People are just talking, and we're like in outer space, thinking about what we're gonna have for dinner.
That happens.
Totally.
It's a real thing. It's, I mean, like, I like, sometimes I feel really bad about it, but like, you know, it's, I work on it, you know, I try to like stay engaged. But like, when I'm like spun out, it's hard, like, for me to hear anything. I'd be like, I'll hear, but for me to actually like, you know, actively like listen, it's like difficult. I'll be like in 20 different places, you know, especially if I'm like going through something emotional or whatever. Yeah, it's difficult. But I feel like I'm not alone. Definitely other people.
Definitely not.
All right. Well, it is, you know, half an hour. We're at the half an hour mark. So I think we're gonna go ahead and close here. It has been a pleasure. Yeah. Don't know if you two want to say something.
Good to see you guys.
I just want people to know, yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
And Stanford University says that productivity plummets after working 50 hours a week, and other studies have found that it declines at 35 hours. So we got research on our side, y'all. Don't work too much.
Facts. Literally. Who came up with the 8 hour day though? And 40 hours a week? That's so disrespectful. I can't. All
Cold, hard
right.
capitalist.
Facts. All right, this is Keeping It Real. This is DD, Divination David. Peace.
Peace out.
Catch you
Peace.
in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.